Blog Talk Radio.
About our guest tonight, because this is somebody that is currently where I know a lot of you young kids want to get to. We have a Washington Redskins offensive tackle on the line, and he's somebody that kind of got it the hard way. It wasn't glamorous. It wasn't the red carpet treatment, as some of us like to say, but he has battled his way to a starting position in the NFL, does a lot of great stuff for the community as well, and I'm just so excited to have Mr. Tyler Columbus in the locker room tonight. Tyler, are you with us?
I'm here. Thanks for having me.
Oh, no problem, man. I definitely appreciate the time. I know you're a family man and got a lot to tend to, so we definitely appreciate you taking the time tonight. I know this is your first time on the locker room show, and, you know, we have a bunch of young kids at all levels. We have eighth graders and high school kids and even a couple college kids that just really want to get after it and find out what it takes to make it to the level that you're at. And even some of them who don't make it to the level you're at just want to have a good, successful career and squeeze all the opportunity they can out of their football career. So we'll get right into it. We only have about 30 minutes tonight, so I definitely want to let the kids hear your voice. And
sure.
Once again, appreciate the time.
Yeah, absolutely. Happy to be on board, and this is what I love to do, is give back and encourage people that are kind of walking down the path that I was trying to walk down, and so excited to share a little wisdom of what I might have picked up along the way.
Definitely. So you're back in your hometown of Colorado, huh?
Yeah, that's right. We have a home here in Parker, just south of Denver, and come back here in the off seasons. This will be home when it's all said and done, and it's good to be back home for a while.
Great. Well, my wife, I actually met my wife in Colorado and spent 5 years out there with the Buffs, so very fond of that place. If God blesses us with the finances, we'll probably would love to have a place back home in Colorado, too. That's my second home. So let's get started tonight with kind of, you know, how things got started for you. Were you somebody that played Little League football growing up, or did you start kicking off your career in high school?
Yeah, I was one of those kids that played every sport known to man, and my dad, he played at CU as well, so I grew up a CU fan. I grew up a football fan, but he actually didn't let me start playing football until about middle school. So I grew up playing all the other sports. Baseball was my favorite sport, and that was the sport that I always dreamed of going pro in. And then in high school, basketball kind of became my first love. And then as my body progressed, God told me, no, I made this body for you to play football.
I heard that. Well, yeah, 6'8", for those listening that don't know Tyler or his background, we're talking to somebody that's a mountain of a man at 6'8", 310 pounds. Is that how big the whole family is, or are you just an anomaly in the family?
We do have a very tall family for sure. My sister's 6'1". She married a guy who's taller than me. He's an inch or two taller than me, actually. And then my other sister's, yeah, that's right. And my other sister's about 5'10", 5'11", and she married a guy who's 6'5", and I got a brother who's 6'8". So my wife gets a lot of grief in our family because she's only about 5'7", and she gets a lot of grief that she's going to bring the jeans down.
I heard that. So, yeah, if anybody comes to a family function, they better have their platforms on, huh?
That's right, yep.
There you go. Well, you went to Cherry Creek High School, and I know a lot of the kids that are on the line. We've got kids from the West Coast and even some down south in Texas. Some of the kids aren't familiar with Cherry Creek High School, but I am, and it's a school with rich tradition in sports. Did you feel like you belonged and that you were going to be able to compete at a school like Cherry Creek?
Yeah, you know, Cherry Creek did have that reputation growing up that not everybody was going to be able to thrive there. And so a lot of my friends that I played Little League football with, they ended up over at a private school called Regis. And I went ahead and went to the local school and went to Cherry Creek, and I certainly enjoyed it. There was never a time really until probably my junior year that I felt like I was really excelling in sports. I had a huge growth spurt probably my sophomore year of high school, in between my freshman and sophomore years, and I grew about 5 inches. And it took my body another 2 or 3 years to really catch up with that and feel like I could control it and do the things that I wanted to do athletically. And so I was never really the superstar on the court or on the field. It wasn't until my junior year that I really started to excel a little bit.
Did you always play offensive lineman?
Yeah, there was a real brief phase in there where I was playing tight end. And when I graduated from high school, I was about 6'8", 240 pounds, soaking wet. And I was playing offensive line. And as you know, to make it to the next level, you know, most offensive linemen are 300 pounds, 300 pounds plus. And so I actually did have a couple schools, Nebraska and Washington, that offered me as a tight end, but I knew my future was as a lineman, and as my body filled out, I knew that that's always where I would end up.
And talk to me a little bit about the decision to go to Cherry Creek, Ty. You know, some of the kids, like I said, are eighth graders, and they're evaluating what school they may want to go to. Was it known in the family that that's where you would end up, or was there anybody in particular kind of pushing you towards Cherry Creek?
Yeah, you know, I don't know. I mean, high school wasn't, for me at least, high school wasn't like making a decision. It was just that was the local school, and that's where we were going to go. That's where my siblings went, and, you know, my parents just kind of raised us up in our local schools, and that's where you went type of thing. It wasn't like when I went to college where I was making a decision. You know, some kids did make that decision that they wanted to go to the private school, but Cherry Creek had a great education, and they had great sports. And so there wasn't really any contemplation on my part to go anywhere else.
Gotcha. And did you have a good relationship with your coaching staff in college, in high school when you were at Cherry Creek?
Yes and no. I always had a good relationship in the aspect that I was a hardworking kid. Coaches always knew that they could rely on me. They knew that I was going to take care of things in the classroom. I was never going to be a headache for them. So coaches certainly respected me. However, I certainly had my challenges that everybody else is going to face with coaches not believing in them. you know, I, in particular, I had one coach that, as I was starting to get recruited, was kind of bad balancing my ability to college recruiters. And I had to overcome that a little bit because, you know, my coach was seeing a kid that was 6'8", 240 pounds, and he didn't necessarily see the potential in me to grow into a man that was 6'8", 300 plus pounds, whereas a lot of these coaches, college coaches, did. And so I did have some moments there where I had to overcome a certain coach that was not saying positive things about me, about my future potential to college coaches. He certainly didn't have anything bad to say about me as a person or about my work ethic or anything, but he just didn't necessarily see the same future that a lot of people did.
He's eating his words a little bit now.
yeah. A little bit. We'll see. You know, every now and then you think about sending him a postcard from the Redskins.
I heard that. Well, once you kind of got going and, you know, the college coaches started coming around and trying to recruit you, what was it about the University of Colorado that said, hey, this is definitely the place for me? Was it just that you had family that went there, or was it a decision after you got to visit the school that made you decide on CU?
Yeah, well, like I said a little bit earlier, my dad did play there, so I grew up a fan, and I was going to games for as long as I can remember, really. And so that there was certainly a huge appeal towards the University of Colorado before I even had an offer. Now, that being said, I always thought that I was going to end up there, but then once I started getting recruited, I started connecting with a few coaches at a couple other schools, Nebraska, Arizona, and Stanford in particular, that I really got tempted by. I connected with a few of these coaches spiritually, and I was just having a relationship with them that felt so much deeper than football, and I felt like these guys really cared about me, and it made for a hard decision. And at the end of the day, I took a couple recruiting visits and went down the road to Nebraska, which, as you can imagine, being a Buff for my dad was hard for him to watch me go down to Nebraska, but I saw some of these schools, and at the end of the day, I ended up connecting well with a few coaches at CU as well, and I think at the end of the day, it really came down to the opportunity to play in front of my family and friends and have my parents be able to drive up the road. I was just 45 minutes away and see all my games and just have the network that I'd always had. You know, there's certainly nothing wrong with going away and starting a new network, but I had a lot of appeal to me and being able to have my parents around to watch my games.
In your opinion, Ty, because we do have some parents that are listening as well tonight and may even listen to the archive show, in your opinion, do you think that it should be the kid's choice on where to go to school, or do you think that the parents should, because you know, you're somewhat of a young age, 17, 18 years old, do you think that the parents should outrule the kids on where to go to college?
I think at the end of the day, it's the kid's decision, and no parent should interfere with a child that is trying to mature and is trying to make adult decisions. At the end of the day, I think that's the answer, but all that being said, I 100% think that kids need to listen to their parents, and parents are going to have wisdom that a 17, 18-year-old isn't going to be able to see. And I think that the child needs to weigh all that, you know, what's going on inside of my head, what's going on inside of my parents' head, and how do I put this all together, write down the pros and cons of what I'm thinking, write down the pros and cons of what they're thinking, and come to the decision on your own. But by no means should you ever discount your parents' opinions, because it's important.
Definitely. And you ended up choosing a business management major. What was it that steered you in that direction as far as majoring in business management?
Well, I always knew that schooling was going to be important to me. And, you know, like I said earlier, coming into college, 60 pounds underweight. I wasn't thinking NFL in my future. I was just thinking I hope I get to play in Folsom Field. So I wasn't thinking about the NFL. I was thinking about getting a great education and preparing myself for the future. And then as my career went on, of course, I was doing everything in my power to make it to the NFL. But really, even my senior year, I didn't know how things were going to work out. So it was always important to me to get an education and to choose a major that I was going to be able to use in my life. And it wasn't just going to be a throwaway major. So, you know, business was one of those things that I'm an entrepreneurial-minded guy that I love organizing and structuring and all the ins and outs that go with business. And so it was just something that I enjoyed, and it was something that I knew would be useful.
Great point. Great point. So you were already thinking down the road, even when you were just getting started in college.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you might know the stats. I'm sure they're out there somewhere, but you know, the stats of high school to college is like one out of a million or probably even more. And then from college to pros is less than that. And so you got to have an education to fall back on. And like I said, I mean, I've had a great career in the NFL already. I'm 6 years in. I'm going on my seventh year. But even if and that's considered a great career, but this thing could end any day. And all of a sudden I've only had 6 years, and I'm going to have 30, 40 years of my working career left that I need to have something to fall back on.
Great point. Great point. So you got to CU, and you're up on the Boulder campus, and I know that you redshirted your first year. What was the biggest adjustment for you, Tyler, as far as finding your way on the field and being able to compete on the field? What was the biggest adjustment that you found from Cherry Creek High to playing in Boulder, Colorado?
Well, you know, for me, I definitely needed a redshirt. I had a lot of maturing to do physically, but mentally also. I got there, and I was kind of getting my butt kicked left and right, and, you know, I just could barely hang on the practice field, and I didn't feel like I belonged, and I didn't feel like I was going to be able to cut it. And so I remember even having a moment calling up my dad and asking him to come up to Boulder and just sit down with me. And I was saying, gosh, Dad, I don't think I can do this. I mean, these guys are just kicking my butt. I can't even make it through a practice without just embarrassing myself. And he just kind of sat down, and I was fortunate enough to have a dad that's been through there, done that, and has hit the highs and lows of competitive athletic experience. So he's able to give me some wisdom just about the maturation process that you're going to go through. And I was an 18-year-old going against the 23-year-olds that had 5 years of experience on me and had 5 years of maturation in their bodies. And so he was able to talk me through some of that and give me some wisdom to encourage me and just say, hey, take advantage of this redshirt year. Get in the weight room. Get bigger. Get stronger. Get in the classroom. Get in the film room. Control what you can control. Make sure that you know the offense. Make sure you know the playbook. And so you're not thinking about the plays at the line of scrimmage. You're just thinking about executing them. And, you know, over time I was able to develop into a body that was a pretty good player, and then I got myself on the field, and then as I got on the field, I got more and more experience, and I became a really good player. And but it was a process.
That's a great point, Ty, and I think, you know, I hope that the kids are really hearing you, because there are ups and downs, you know, in the career, and to have somebody that you can lean on, whether it's your dad or a high school coach or even mom, you know, somebody can lean on and say, hey, things aren't going so hot, you know, and they can pump you back up. So I'm glad you said that, definitely. So you obviously did start to find your way on the field, and you started making some plays. The thing that was really impressive that I found out about you is that you were a three-time All Big 12 academic performer as well.
Yeah, I was, but it wasn't always that way. I was a good student in high school, and, you know, actually, I shouldn't even say that. I was a student that did enough to get good grades, but I knew that I probably could have even done better. I graduated with a 3.2 from high school, but my test scores were were much better than that. That's why I was able to have the attraction of schools like Stanford, because my test scores showed that I was able to have even better grades than I have. And 3.2 is a good GPA. I would not be upset with my son if he had that. As a matter of fact, I'd be incredibly proud of him. But I knew that I had the potential to do better than I was. And I got to see you. And one thing that I put aside a little bit my freshman year was my academics, and I was focusing so hard on football, and I dug a little hole for myself in my GPA, and I wasn't putting forth the kind of effort that I knew I could my first semester freshman year, and I didn't get a good GPA. And the one thing that I tell kids every day is, man, do not mess up your freshman year. Learn from me, because I was, like you said, three-time academic Big 12, and but even being that, putting that kind of effort in the remaining years, I had to dig myself out of a hole from that first semester that I was never able to graduate with the GPA that I knew I could have, simply because I put it aside one semester.
Good point. And they're actually, even at the high school level, Ty, changing academic requirements for kids to earn college scholarships. So you're dead on, man. You cannot dig a hole early in your academic career in high school or college. It's so important. I appreciate you saying that. So once you got going on the field, tell me, was it a particular play or was there a moment through your Colorado career where you started really thinking, hey, maybe I could possibly play at the next level?
You know, there actually was a particular play, and for the most part, I don't have a whole lot of memories like this, but there was one particular play, and it wasn't in a game. It was in practice. We were doing this drill that was kind of old school that you'll never do in the NFL, but you do it in college. You call it war boards, and you put this rubber strip in between, and you just have two guys at the end of the strip, and you just go head on, and there's no point, there's no play, there's nothing. It's just mano a mano, man-on-man, who's going to drive the other guy farther type of thing. And I'd done this drill probably 50 times against one particular guy. His name was James Gary, and he was an upperclassman. I was an underclassman, and I even had this conversation with my dad as well. As he was just embarrassing me on this thing. I was getting flat-backed all the time, and it was one of those drills that you want to show off how tough you are, and I wasn't doing well at it. And then I finally just put it all aside, and I went into this thing today, and I was like, you know what, I'm winning this today. No matter what it takes, I'm winning this thing. And I went against that same guy, and I drove him back about 5 yards, and I put him on his back, and I ended up on top of his belly, and I just walked back, and I was like, all right, that's it. I'm turning the corner right now. That was what I needed.
That felt good, huh?
Yeah, it felt great.
James Gere, actually, he was a young pup when I was leaving, so that name does ring a bell. Great story there. So you got going on the football field, and obviously you were a starter up at CU and all Big 12 honors. Did you feel like your senior year when you received all Big 12 honors from the coaches, was that sort of a validation for you as a player?
Yeah, yes and no. I mean, I guess I've never put a ton of weight in what other people are saying about me. I've always been a guy that the media hasn't been super happy with, or that the fans are always like, oh, I haven't heard his name, so I don't want him in there. I've never been a guy that people are just like, oh, I can't wait for him to get on the field. I can't wait for him to be our starting right tackle. And I've had to earn everything I've ever had. So I've always had a ton of public criticism out there, and I've always had a ton of people that are thinking I can't get the job done when I know I can. So I've learned over the years to control what I can control, and all I could control was my work ethic and what I think about myself. And so I know what kind of tape I'm putting out there. I know what my coaches think about me, and I know what my teammates think about me. So that's all I really care about, and to this day, that's truly all that I care about. You know, it's hard not to hear the criticism out there in the media sometimes and not let it affect you, but if you don't learn how to block that out, and if you don't learn how to play for yourself, you're not going to make it, because there's always going to be people out there telling you that you're not good enough. So, yes, it's good to have people validate that and think that you're a good player and to agree with you and agree with your coaches and your teammates. But if I was concerned about what they were thinking to make my career and to make my day and to help me sleep at night, I'd be in trouble.
I hear you on that. Are you somebody that, would you say you play with a little bit of a chip on your shoulder?
Yeah, you know, I don't know about that phrase. I mean, I'm not one of those guys that is a huge rah-rah guy. I'm not a guy that is going to be leading the charge in the middle of the huddle and giving a huge speech or anything. And I'm just kind of a lunch pail kind of guy that goes to work and brings his lunch pail and goes home and is proud of the work that he put in. So the chip on the shoulder thing, that works for some people, and some people need that kind of motivation to think that, hey, somebody got drafted in front of me, so I got to prove them wrong. That's never been me. I've just known that God's blessed me throughout my life, and I'm trying to honor God, and I'm trying to honor myself and my family. And so I just go to work every day and put forward the kind of effort that I'm proud of, and I don't really worry about the rest, you know?
Love it, love it. So what would you say, Ty, about maybe that kid who's in high school right now, or maybe he's a freshman in college, and he may be a decent player, but he's not getting his fair shake? You know, maybe for whatever reason the coaches haven't called his number yet. Is there any type of advice or any, you know, a little nugget of advice that you can give a kid like that that's kind of waiting in the wings?
Yeah, you know, I don't want to be repetitive, but I've kind of already touched on it a little bit, and just worry about what you can worry about, and make sure that you're always that guy that's out working somebody else. Make sure you're that guy that is finishing the sprints ahead of everybody else and is kind of making your friends and your teammates a little mad because they think you're running a little too hard. Be that guy that coaches know that you're going to be holding other guys accountable to the same standard that you want to be held to, and just be a guy that is reliable. And if you're a reliable human being on and off the court, on and off the field, coaches are going to find a spot for you. And eventually you're going to find a way to shine.
Perfect, perfect. And for those of you who are maybe just joining us, we do have Washington Redskins offensive tackle Tyler Columbus on the line in the locker room with us. We definitely appreciate the time. If you want to call in and talk to Ty, our number is 310-807-5195, and feel free to ask Ty any question about his career and his journey. And once again, we do appreciate the time, Ty. So after you left the University of Colorado, you were an undrafted rookie with the Denver Broncos. And for those that don't know, when you're an undrafted rookie, typically you get to choose a little bit, if you're fortunate enough, a couple of different options or a couple of different teams to look at. What was it about the Denver Broncos that made you want to choose to stay in Colorado?
Yeah, a lot of the same of high school to college. But, you know, my dad and I had sat down before the draft, and we knew that there was a chance that I might not get drafted. And so we actually had sat down before the draft and prepared for this, that what if I don't get drafted? What teams are a good opportunity for me to make a roster? You know, your chances of making the roster as an undrafted rookie are just not good. There's guys making millions of dollars in front of you. There's guys that got drafted in the first and second round, and they have guaranteed spots. And so you really have to be careful about the team that you choose. Now, a lot of guys, they'll only have one team that make an offer for them and want them on their team. So you take whatever you can get, and you just find a way to make it work. However, I was fortunate enough to be in a unique position that I had really the majority of the league offered me a deal, and I was really glad that my dad and I had sat down beforehand, and we'd written down all the teams that needed help at tackle. And we'd written down the teams that had established veterans, the guys that might be on their way out the door. We'd written down the teams that had tackles that maybe had a rough year the year before, and I may have a chance to beat them out. And so we actually had a list of teams that were going to be a good opportunity for me. And it just so happened that Denver was a good opportunity. We knew that I'd have a chance to beat out a certain guy, and then that it also happened to be my hometown. So the mixture of all that was what led me to Denver.
That is so smart, and I'm glad that you said that, because I'm real big on having a game plan. I tell all these kids have a game plan, and for you and your dad to plot that out before the draft, you know, that scenario, and sure enough, it came to pass. So that's a good one. Talk to me a little bit about once you got into NFL training camp. Were your eyes a little wide-eyed and were you a deer in headlights at first, or did you kind of acclimate right away and just catch on to things right away?
Yeah, there was certainly that moment of realizing, oh, man, my locker's right next to Brandon Marshall, and I'm hanging out with Champ Bailey, and, there's that moment of just like it's kind of surreal, where am I right now? So in that aspect, yes, there was a little bit of wide-eyedness going on, but I'd say the transition from college to pros was different than high school to college, in that at this point I really believed in my game, and I really believed in what I could do as a person and as a player. And so when I got on that field, the biggest difference was really every guy you went against was the best player that you were going against on your team in college, or the best player you're going against every Saturday against the opposing team. So it wasn't talent that I'd never been against. It was just that everybody was that good. It was people that I'd been, it was the kind of talent that I'd already faced. And of course there was the extraordinary talent. I was going against Elvis Dumervil, and I of course never, in college, I'd never gone against a guy like Elvis. So there's certainly guys that stood out. But for the most part, it was the kind of talent that you'd gone against, but you just had to have your A game at every single moment.
And a lot of guys that we bring into the locker room to talk to the kids say that the biggest adjustment is the film study and mental preparation. Would you agree with that?
Yeah. I really didn't know how little I truly knew about football until I got to the pros. I thought that I knew X's and O's in college. I remember getting to college and having to learn what a defense was, like learning how to – all the different names and all the ins and outs of an over versus an under or a split hawk or whatever, a 59 or a bare front. And I remember how hard that was for me just to learn the names of the defenses, because in high school it was just like I was going against a 4-3. It was the same defense every day. And so I never really had to learn a defense. But going from college to pros was just taking it to a whole new level. I mean, I had no idea how much I really had to learn. And so the classroom was for sure – that was the biggest learning curve beyond just talent, beyond getting on the field. I knew what I could do on the field, but there was a lot for me to learn in the classroom.
I hear you on that. And talk to me a little bit, because you do have a background with the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, and I would just love to hear your opinion as far as guys, whether it's college, high school, NFL. Are you a firm believer in having the right social life and balance with that? Or do you think that affects some players as far as what they do off the field?
Oh, absolutely. My kind of life verse that I've applied to sports, and I've applied to academics, and I've applied to everything that I do as a dad, as a husband, is Colossians 3:23, and that's in all that you do, work at it with all your heart as if working for the Lord and not for man. And for me, I've always just tried to make God proud. And there was a moment there in college where my academics were slipping, and I wasn't surrounding myself with the kind of people that I'd surrounded myself with in high school, and I wasn't working at everything with all my heart in academics. I wasn't football, but I'd set aside the academics for one semester there, and I wasn't surrounding myself with the kind of people that wanted to see me put forth the kind of effort that was going to make God proud and make myself proud. And so I think that's huge. I mean, that's the number one thing. I speak to a lot of youth groups and a lot of stuff that is different than what we're talking about right now about my academic career or my athletic career. Of course, my athletic career crosses over into my testimony, but when I'm talking specifically to a church group or to a youth group, I always talk on the importance of surrounding yourself with people that that care about the decisions you're going to make and that care about your future with your Lord and Savior. And so absolutely, I mean, I think that's the number one thing you can never do for yourself is surround yourself with people that care about you.
I hear you on that one. And as far as I understand it, you have a charity and you're somebody that loves to give back to the community. Can you talk to us a little bit about Tyler's Kids Outreach?
Yeah, you know, that was something that my wife and I started while we were playing for the Broncos, and I just wanted a platform to be able to give back to the communities that have given me so much, and the NFL provides the greatest platform you could ever imagine. People want to hear my story because I play in the NFL, and, you know, they wouldn't necessarily be interested in what I do if I was working at Verizon or if I was working wherever else. And right or wrong, that's just the truth. People care about what you're doing because you're in the NFL. And I wanted to take advantage of that platform and not walk away from this game in 10 years and think, man, I could have done so much good, but I didn't. And so we started TKO, and our mission statement is that we strive to enrich the lives of children through family, faith, and personal development. And that allows us to do a million things. We do football camps for developmentally and mentally disabled kids. We do essay contests with kids that are in areas that are a little less privileged here in Denver, and we challenge the kids to come up with a way to improve their community and write an essay about it, and then we fly the winner out for a game in D.C. and give them sideline passes, and we do tickets for kids that are in the children's hospital, and we do a million things, and it's been a blast. It's been a lot of fun. It's been the greatest thing that I've ever given my financial resources and my personal time to.
Well, I really tip my cap to the work you do because, like you said, so many guys in their career wishing that they would have done more for their community after it's all said and done. So I just really tip my cap to you for realizing that while you're still playing and taking advantage of that opportunity. Also, I saw that you do a free football camp for kids with special needs and being a father with a kid with autism. I once again really tip my cap to you and your wife for doing that great work. We're ending right here in about, you know, another couple minutes, and I wanted to give you just an opportunity if you wanted to say anything to the young parents, young kids on the line as far as them trying to achieve their dreams, and any advice or words of wisdom you wanted to say to them?
Oh, man, I don't know. I mean, I'm pretty tapped out on the wisdom I've given. you know, for the most part, I just reiterate, be proud of yourself. Be proud of the things that you do. And make decisions that people are going to always know that they can rely on you. And that's the one thing that's gotten me through is I've never been the most talented player. I've never been the most physical player, the guy that is going to make the biggest highlights. I've just been a guy that people know that they can rely on. And I've been a guy that people they're never going to wonder what decisions I'm making on Friday night. They're never wondering if I'm going to show up late to a meeting. I've never been late to a meeting in my six-year career. You know, I just take care of the little things, and that's what's gotten me through. It's not that I'm the most talented player. Lord knows there's guys on my own team that are probably more talented than me that I play in front of. But I just take care of the little things. I'm reliable on and off the field, and coaches know what they're going to get with me. So that's my biggest advice to people is just be a person that is reliable.
Well, you did a great job tonight, man. You're a pro's pro, and I'm sure that the Redskins are happy with you, and you guys are going to have a great year coming up next year. We really appreciate the time, Ty. You stay healthy, okay, buddy?
All right. Thanks for it.
All right. Thank you. All right, you guys, so that was Mr. Tyler Palumbis, offensive tackle for the Washington Redskins. Fabulous gentleman. Once again, he's a great player, but he's even a better father, husband, and philanthropist. So hope you guys got a lot out of tonight's show. There was a lot of information that Ty covered with us. He said it himself. He said, I might not be the top guy out there, but you know what you're going to get from me, and you know you can count on me. So that's always somewhere where you guys can start being a young football player, is just be somebody that your team and your coaches can really count on. So we have more content, obviously, if you want to learn more about Before You Go Pro at www.beforeyougopro.com. You can pre-order a paperback book of the book Before You Go Pro, which is a fabulous tool for any parent or kid that is in football industry and wants to take it to the next level. And also, you can reach all of our archive shows, locker room shows, at beforeyougopro.com. And please tell as many people as possible about this mission to teach players about the mental, moral, and academic obligations of the game. So we will be back on Thursday night with another teaching topic, and the topic is, are you ready? Are you ready for all it's going to take for you to really achieve your dreams in this industry? Because it's a lot. And as you heard from Tyler, there's highs and lows. So Thursday night's topic, are you ready, is going to be a hot one, and hopefully you guys can join in. So have a great night tonight. We love you guys all to death, and we'll see you on Thursday, and we will definitely see you at the top. Have a good one.